Hello, and welcome to season two of the podcast, Sounding the Alarm, Be Safe, Be Vigilant, Be Prepared, where we discuss self-defense, situational awareness, and firearm safety. I'm your podcast host, Leonque Chavette, author of my debut novel, We Made Plans, which is available on Amazon in ebook and paperback. I'm also a trained paralegal with over 20 years of experience and a corporate trainer. This podcast is produced by Elite Conversations Media. And this week's episode is being sponsored by Beauties and Bullets, an online Facebook forum for women gun owners. If you would like to be a guest speaker or a sponsor for this podcast, please email me at leonquechavette@gmail.com. I'll give you the spelling a little bit later. And again, thank you to Beauties and Bullets for their support and sponsorship. Over the course of season two, we've discussed self-defense tactics, firearm safety, and situational awareness. And we're going to continue that focus today. To discuss the self-defense style of Krav Maga. And once again, I have an exciting guest in store for you today. And that guest speaker is Nicole Thurman of A&R Tactics. Nicole is a resident of Charlotte, North Carolina, and is originally from Idaho. She loves working in the community and connecting individuals with information and training opportunities that can increase their safety and health. She has experience in teaching Krav Maga, self-defense, active shooter hostile event training, firearms on the range, and grappling for weapons retention. Nicole is an RN who has authored and taught civilian trauma response training curriculum extensively. Nicole is also an NRA and USCCA certified firearms instructor, a Red Cross certified instructor, and is TECC trained. Nicole loves training firearms, Krav Maga, BJJ, grappling, and kickboxing. I mean, so in my mind, Nicole is a tough cookie or a bad whatever you want to call it, but Nicole's got it going on. So welcome, Nicole. How are you?
I'm really good. Thank you for having me, Leonque.
Good. You are not to be messing with, Nicole.
Oh, just if I'm hungry.
Oh, that's funny. All right, that's good. So thank you for participating in my podcast. I appreciate it. We want to start with the fun fact that we try to get all of our guests to share with us. So what's your fun fact?
Probably something a lot of people don't know about me that haven't met me. I lived on an Indian reservation for 5 years and just really had a remarkable experience and some people that I'll love my whole life from that experience.
Wow.
And studied the language at the university and just a rich, incredible experience.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I should call it a tribe, but what Indian mm-hmm. reservation or tribe was it with?
Yeah, it was on, I was married to a Shoshone Bannock tribal member and we lived on his reservation and all his family there. Just, it's really great. A lot of amazing people. Wow. So that's in Idaho.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's nice. Usually I can say that I have a similar experience to people, but you got me on that one. That and my guest who jumped out of planes in the military, I was like, no, I can't do that.
Yeah, you're like, you got that one.
Oh, yeah, no, that's interesting. I actually would like to hear more about that.
Yeah.
Okay, but so for our podcast today, and thank you for sharing that, we want to talk about the art of Krav Maga, which is spelled K-R-A-V-M-A-G-A, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So can you just share a little bit of the history of the art of Krav Maga?
Yeah, it was founded by a Jewish man in the years leading up to the World War II. He mm-hmm. was in an increasingly hostile environment in Czechoslovakia. He'd been professionally trained in boxing and wrestling, and his father actually trained police in combat and defensive tactics. And he just really saw a need or a necessity to be able to defend themselves against really violent encounters for their lives around the line. And it had to be a system that could be learned quickly mm-hmm. and taught quickly to people, that people could learn effectively. And really it's just about an economy of brutality, like versus being a sport. He took all of the fight aspects of all of the fight systems that have been around for hundreds and hundreds of years. He took the most brutal parts of those, the most effective striking, things that people could repeat under duress, learn quickly, and put those together in a fight system.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so how did you become involved with Krav Maga?
Yeah, I didn't think I needed it. I was looking for some self-defense for my daughters as they were coming into their teenage years. And so really I started by taking them. And I didn't know what it would be like. I kind of had some trepidation, feeling like a place that taught that there might be a lot of ego, or might not be real welcoming or even safe to be a new person, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was just amazed by the caliber of people that trained it. And then quickly found that was my thing, that I just loved it. My girls continued training with me for a few years, but then they went on to other sports in high school and things like that. But my second daughter, she still comes back and helps teach some of the women's self-defense with me. She's in college and has helped teach some of the trauma care. So it's still been something that's impacted their lives, but it's been something that's become pretty pivotal in my life.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. One of my previous podcast guests said that she became involved with the art of self-defense that she's involved in through taking her son to go be trained in this art. Mm-hmm. And then she became involved and she stuck it out. And
that's interesting.
And he did not, but that's, it is interesting how you try to, you take your kids and then you find yourself, you know, willing to get in there and learn as well. So I think that's admirable for both of you, actually.
Oh, thank you. It's turned out to be pivotal for me.
Mm-hmm. And so with Krav Maga, are there different belt levels to achieve? And if so, what level or belt degree have you achieved?
Yeah, there are different belt levels with different than other like combat sports, like maybe jiu-jitsu, things like that. You don't wear your belt at class. Like a lot of times you train in street clothing or we're training outside or on the gun range, things like that. But it goes up through black belt, and I have a black belt in Krav Maga.
Oh my gosh.
So
and to look at you, I mean, not that we should judge, but to look at you, you wouldn't suspect anything like that you had any knowledge of a deadly or a lethal martial art.
People say you seem so nice.
That's one of the
advantages of it, really, is that, you know, it's not a system that's going to make it possible for me to go 10 rounds with a 200-pound man. Like, size and strength matter.
Right.
But learning to use an opponent's energy, learning to be aware enough maybe to prevent things all together, you know, and not getting involved at all is the main point of it. They help level the playing field a little, or they help being a smaller person against somebody bigger that obviously I'm in a really bad position if I ever have to defend myself in that way. And mm-hmm. I'm not going to solve it all in one move. And that was something that a lot of the things I looked at for my daughters, when I was looking, it seemed very choreographed or very situation specific,
right,
or something that was very fine motor, very like, I just didn't think you could repeat it under duress.
Mm-hmm.
And to find something that's all about helping you mentally be able to flip a switch. And we run into that a lot with the active shooter response training, especially with teachers, you know, like really kind people that have never wanted to hurt anybody, mm-hmm. but getting to the point where they realize if they needed to, they would and could flip that switch to protect others, to do,
right,
to stand mm-hmm. up and do the right thing. And that's part of it too.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting, because one of the things that I have realized in doing these podcasts with the subject matter experts like yourself is that we talk about self-defense and situational awareness and everything, but the point that almost everyone, you know, wants to reiterate is that you really don't want to get yourself into a situation where you have to physically defend yourself. You want to do whatever to not be in that situation, to avoid a situation like that, or to distance yourself from a situation so that you don't actually have to pull your weapon or be in a combative, you know, situation with someone. So I think that's important. And I appreciate you mentioning that as well.
It is. And sometimes people will say, well, I bet because you train, you just hope you'll get in a fight or something. And I have to let them know that the longer I train, the greater my desire is to never have to do that. you know, not only can things turn on a dime, but then like you're talking about with firearms and stuff, that even if you were legally correct in something that you did through different civil processes, you could still lose everything. Mm-hmm. And just having weight on you, I think you'd feel the weight of taking a human life, even if it was someone that was determined to hurt other people, you know? So yeah, I agree with you. And definitely everybody that you've had on that said that the greatest thing you could learn would be to find a way to avoid it.
Mm-hmm. Right, absolutely. All right, and so if you wanted to train, if someone doesn't have access to formally train in Krav Maga, what other forms of self-defense would you recommend? Or is Krav Maga the absolute thing you know that
that's well, I'm a little biased to it, but I train other martial arts because no one system is complete. And so first of all, I would tell them to find a place that doesn't espouse that. There are some places they're like, I'm going to teach you this one move, it always works, and you're set. Or you find schools maybe that the teacher has never changed the way they think about something or do something in the whole time they've been teaching. Mm-hmm. So I would ask them, what is something you teach differently now than you did maybe a few years ago? And if you find someone that's always learning and always trying to test to failure, that's super valuable. So I think there's a lot of great avenues, but they need to involve so none of my girlfriends will come train it with me because it involves touching sweaty men or the girls are sweaty, but you have to be touching someone else. You have to feel energy so that you can learn when someone's giving you forward pressure, what you can do with that. When they're pulling back, what can you do with that? You can't do it from a distance. And really, Krav Maga is made up of, he pulled the most brutal parts out of a lot of combat sports. So you can look at things like Muay Thai, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, boxing, wrestling, things that you can get in and get contact with someone else.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that is excellent, Nicole. We need to pause for a commercial break. So because I'm still stuck back at what you were saying and I need to take a commercial break, but I want people to please check out my sponsor, who is also located out of Charlotte, North Carolina. That's Beauties and Bullets, and it's an online forum for women gun owners or those contemplating becoming gun owners. Again, you're listening to Sounding the Alarm, Be Safe, Be Vigilant, Be Prepared podcast with your host, Leonque Chevette, and my special guest, Nicole Thurman of A&R Tactics, and we'll be right back.
Hey, this is Nicole from Beauties and Bullets, an all-women's gun group for beauty. Beauties and Bullets was created in 2020 and now has over 230 members and still growing. Beauties and Bullets is a group where women can come together, network, ask questions, find out about which weapon is best for them, meet at the range for a range date, learn about their EDC, work on getting their permit and becoming licensed and licensed to carry. Beauties and Bullets is a gun group created by beauty for beauty. So come on over to the Facebook page at Beauties and Bullets and the Instagram at beauties_and_bullets, where all of your questions can be answered and you can network with other beauties.
Welcome back to Sounding the Alarm, Be Safe, Be Vigilant, Be Prepared podcast with your host, Leonque Chevette. This awesome podcast, and it is awesome, is produced by Elite Conversations Media. And this episode, again, is being sponsored by Beauties and Bullets, an online Facebook forum for women gun owners and those contemplating becoming gun owners. You can also check them out on Instagram at beauties_and_bullets. And, again, you can just check them out, and it's an online forum on Facebook or Instagram. If you contact them through Facebook, there's just a couple of questions you have to answer, and more than likely you'll just be in, and they provide great information for newbies and for experienced gun owners. So please check them out. And so we have a wonderful guest speaker today, Nicole Thurman of A&R Tactics, and we're going to get right back into our conversation. So Nicole, thank you so much again for taking the time to talk to me. I definitely appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so that Krav Maga conversation is really, really, really good.
Good.
Because there are so many options out there, but it is important to, I think in any situation, that to understand that things always evolve and that,
yes,
I mean, you require additional training in almost everything. And so to look for a self-defense type of martial arts that, you know, where the teacher is willing to change some things or at least willing to learn, then that's important. And I appreciate you mentioning that because with everything else, you have to go get additional training to maintain your certification or whatever. Attorneys have to do it. I'm sure nurses and just pretty much everybody who's in a certified field has to get that additional training. So
yeah, they're all perishable skills, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so now the other exciting thing about you, Nicole, is that you're with this company, A&R Tactics, and they have this exciting thing called a shoot house that you have in North Carolina. So, you know, I was like a puppy who tilts their head to the side. I was like, a shoot house. So what can you tell our listeners what exactly is a shoot house?
Yes. So just a little bit about our background. I'm one of the co-owners, and then my other two partners in that are Rodney Thompson, and he just retired out as a Green Beret. So uh-huh. He's Special Forces. And then our other partner, Antonio Rivers, just retired out from SWAT in our police department here. And he was also on the FBI Task Force for Human Trafficking. So have extensive backgrounds. And then Antonio has also trained in Krav for years. And it was him that first thought of this. They had this type of training as officers, but still not even as much as they would like. And a shoot house is basically a structure that's built so that you can practice entering it, going room to room if there was someone hostile there. So for us, we have basically 7 bedrooms and each room has 3 openings. And so all the time we can change the configuration of it, and just changing a couple doors changes everything, changes the way you move through there. And we have it furnished. So there's bedrooms, there's a little kitchen, a big office area. So local, like we've had drug task force come and they treat it like it's an apartment building and they're serving warrants door to door. We have couples come and they want to practice home defense so that they have a plan if something were to happen. And, you know, of course, number one is to call the police, but maybe they're on one side of the house and their children's rooms are on the other, and that's where the break-in occurred. They're not going to wait for police. They're going to get there and learn how to clear that room. Or we had a gentleman in today that he wanted to train active shooter as a concealed carrier. If he's out in public, how does he intervene? How does he respond? Should he? And so that's how we use the house today. So they can have, you know, lots of different configurations, but there really aren't many places in the whole United States where civilians can train this. And we train it with marking rounds. So we shoot Glock 17T pistols. They're modified by Glock at factory to shoot marking rounds, and they're equivalent to just a regular Glock 17 and 9mm. And then we shoot actual AR-15s. We change out the bolt carrier group so that it's a bolt that makes it so it only shoots these marking rounds. So people can even bring in their own AR and train it. They just leave the live bolt at home, and we can train these scenarios. And based on what they want to do depends on how we react as the bad guy. So maybe like a brand new shooter, we don't even shoot back for the first several rounds. Just the fact that we're stepping out into a hallway facing them and they're scared to death, you know, even people that we've trained all these different combat sports with come and the day before they're trying to take someone's head off in the ring, but now they're in the shoot house and they don't even fire their gun. Like it is a different kind of duress. Or even shooters that are very, very proficient on the range, it's completely different to have being a two-way firing range, basically, is what it is. And someone shooting back at you. And right. then to be able to practice clearing malfunctions when the bad, you can hear the bad guy coming down the hall.
You're making me tense right now talking about it.
Yeah, it gets the heart going for sure. Yeah. But it's just super valuable because it allows you to train scenarios over and over and over again and mm-hmm. train them in a realistic way with non-lethal consequence. And really, even if you got into any type of martial art, but definitely Krav Maga, it involves tons of scenario training. We're simulating fighting, simulating being attacked, simulating having to draw your weapon or fight for retention of it. And this mm-hmm. is another iteration of it. So we have like a realtor safety course where they come and where do you put your purse while you're showing the house that has your gun in it? Could you get back to it? Does that work for you? Can you carry concealed in what you're wearing? My daughter, before she went back to the semester of college, came and did vehicle CQB with Rodney and worked on, she's putting all her things in the car. That's a really vulnerable point right now where people are getting mm-hmm. carjacked, getting mm-hmm. in and out of their vehicle. So come practice that, going over how close to park to the ATM. How soon would you draw your weapon, recognizing someone as a threat? Mm-hmm. And you know how to get that seatbelt off and get out. It's just really limitless. And that's really neat because whether someone's a brand new shooter or they've shot for a long time, there's so much to learn. Right, and you can help bridge that gap. Cause I do think that it's really hard for someone new to firearms. That's a big kind of chasm to cross to make that mm-hmm. decision to come over, and they don't know if they'll be welcomed or ridiculed or if they'll be safe, And so to be able to help them come, like when I do firearms prep, we totally break down the weapon. They don't have to wear ear protection for it. Look at it, that it's springs and a barrel and it's a machine, and get to the point quickly where it can become a sport, where it can become something enjoyable to train,
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I just want to go back. You, the type of bullets that you guys use, you said that they were what kind of markings?
They're considered marking rounds. And so they have a small amount of media or paint and a little bit of detergent in them. And then what propels them is a primer cap. So there's not gunpowder in it. It's not loud. You don't have to wear ear protection, but you do have to be kitted up. You need a helmet because they come out about, the pistol rounds are about 400 feet per second. And the rifle ones are about 4 to 475. So they can break the skin, like you need padded clothing, but we kit you up in a force-on-force helmet, neck protection, groin protection, mm-hmm. and then you need gloves.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's good to know. And the fact that the shoot house that you can also encounter, your team shooting back at you.
Yes.
And you also have a car or something that you guys train with,
ma'am.
As well?
Yes. And we've taken the glass out of taken the windshield out, because a lot of times people feel like they're safe behind the glass. But in a vehicle, if someone's shooting at you, you have to get out of it as quickly as possible. It's just a bullet magnet and you're trapped. And so training that, but then there's all kinds of scenarios to train with it. Are you alone or do you have two tiny kids buckled in car seats?
Are you
parked against a building and you can't back out? Are you, there's so many variables to train. Or where do you stage your weapon? A lot of people come in, it's in my bag. Throw my bag in the back seat, or it's in my glove box. Like, that's another great part too, is we just let people find their way. Come in and start like works for you. Carry, if you think carrying in the back position 6 o'clock is what works for you, try it. And then offer suggestions, and you get to test everything to failure, but without lethal consequence, and make up your own mind, about what works best for you and your environment and your body.
Right. Okay. And so, I mean, this is extremely different from being at a gun range where you just stand still and try to hit a target.
Yes,
ma'am. So clearly the benefits are, if you encounter someone and they're returning fire, that you have something in your head where you know how to respond. But I mean, you tell me, what you think the main benefits of a shoot house are compared to a gun range. And do you recommend that people go to a gun range and get some type of training first before they come to a shoot house? Or can a newbie who just bought a gun yesterday come tomorrow to go to the shoot house?
Yeah, those are great questions. I think that we're a good place to start even before the range, because we don't replace the range though. You need the range to work marksmanship. But I think we're a great place to start as a newbie before the range, because you can come and train without lethal consequence. When they still have their heart rate up, even when I'm showing them this gun that cannot cause death, you know.
Right.
A little bruising is probably considered bodily harm, so yeah. I shouldn't say not bodily harm, but that their heart rate can come down a little and they can hear what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And they can also come and learn real range etiquette before they go to the range, because I tell them all the time, just in that prep class, you're going to learn things in this hour that are going to allow you to go to the range and stand next to someone who's a very skilled shooter and have respect, because they're going to see you safely operate that firearm, safely handle it. And when you can demonstrate that you're safe with it, you get to relax, and the people mm-hmm. around you are going to respect and appreciate you for that. So range etiquette, that's a big deal. And I think learning it without being right on the firing line, because, you know, even if you shoot a lot, some of those it's pretty loud in there, like it still gets your heart rate going, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's great. I think one of the main benefits of it really is the scenario training and getting to develop, you know, you go through all the levels of competency, like unconscious incompetence, conscious incompetence, or conscious competence, and then the coup de grace, you know, the unconscious competence, where you competently do things without having to think about
them.
When you get to train scenarios, your brain doesn't know the difference, and you can develop that skill set that becomes unconscious. You're proficient under duress with that, and then you get to think higher level things. Is someone else involved? What color was that car? What direction are they going? Where are they bleeding from? Where are, like, versus the totality of it being on you for the very, very first time ever. Like today, we do a lot of shoot, no shoot scenarios. Like, we're not just run and gun, and you want people to be accountable for their rounds. And today, he had been shooting at me. We're working on active shooter things, and I came out just holding the magazine of the gun, and he still lit me up.
He's like,
oh, you know, but getting to practice those things, because, you know, I think most people are really, really good people, and we don't ever want to cause harm to someone else and to live without our whole life of having made a wrong decision. So come and train it and test it, develop, and see what works best for you. There's no point in finding mistakes when you're in the heat of it, when things are really, really going wrong, you know?
Right. Right. This is great information, Nicole. Thank you so much. I need to take a pause for our second commercial break. And again, you're listening to Sounding the Alarm, Be Safe, Be Vigilant, Be Prepared podcast with your host, Leonque Chivette. Please tell a friend about this podcast, which is available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, and Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Leonque Chivette is the author of the debut novel, We Made Plans. It chronicles the lives of a group of longtime friends in the midst of living their best lives when they experience a horrific trajectory-altering event. We Made Plans is a powerful piece taken right out of today's headlines. It's riveting and real. You'll become completely immersed in the lives of these relatable characters. We Made Plans by author Leonque Chivette is available online at Barnes & Noble, Walmart, Amazon, Mahogany Books, and check your local bookstores. We Made Plans, available now.
Okay, welcome back to Sounding the Alarm, Be Safe, Be Vigilant, Be Prepared podcast. And I'm your host, Leonque Chivette. If you need to or want to contact me outside of the podcast, you can contact me on my website at www.leonquechivette.com. That is LeonqueChavette.com. So Nicole, it looks like you are a woman amongst many men in your company and probably your field. So tell us what drives your passion to share your expertise and knowledge.
I'm super grateful for the good men that I'm surrounded with. Just have a high level of respect for them. And I love seeing that even though they're very, very highly skilled, high level operators, they love and take joy in teaching somebody that's new. And for me, I feel really passionate about teaching what I do, because I've come through some hard things, and there are a lot of different ways to fight through traumas and difficulties in your life. And you can carry yourself differently just by having the opportunity to train some of these things. And I see the power in that.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And what was your first gun?
My first gun was a 30-06, a rifle. My dad, I was the oldest and I was in hunter safety, right? As soon as I was 12, only girl in there. And he didn't treat us like boys, but he just expected we could do hard things and that we could do the same things. And so I'm super grateful for that. So my first experiences in firearms were big game hunting growing up out west.
Mm-hmm. What is the number one thing you want our listeners to know in order to be safe, be vigilant, and be prepared?
I think in this climate, the thing that I would tell people as we're more alike than different, and everybody, as I see them come in and train with us, everyone loves their families. Everybody mm-hmm. wants to be safer. Everybody wants that for each other and, right. and for themselves. And really, I think you nail it with talking about being vigilant, that mm-hmm. so much can be prevented just by being aware and being vigilant. And when you're vigilant, you don't have to be paranoid. It's like, right. You know, sometimes people are like, can't believe that I would take my daughters to some of these trauma care trainings. But I think it's like us putting our seatbelt on when we leave the driveway. I don't turn around and tell my kids, we're doing this because you could die on the way to the grocery store.
Right, right.
We just do it because we know that's the best preparation we can mm-hmm. do. And I feel like all of this is the same. Being prepared allows you to have some space to breathe and know mm-hmm. that you could respond.
Right. Absolutely. Great. And how can our listeners get in touch with you or follow you on social media or set up to go to that shoot house?
Yes, we would love all of the above. We're at, our website is ar-tactics.com. We're on Instagram at ar_tactics.com. My Instagram for the business is Nicole_AR_tactics. I think I said .com with the Instagram. It's not. It's just AR_tactics, Nicole_AR_tactics. And we would love to connect with any of your listeners.
And so, Nicole, thank you. Again, you are an incredible guest. And I'm so thankful to all of the many guests that I've had who are willing to generously share their knowledge and expertise with us. As always, to my listeners, please take your safety, security, and mental and physical well-being seriously as much as reasonably possible. Be that Psalms 91 believer as I am and keep the faith. And when you know the word, you walk through life with a different kind of confidence. When you've trained, like Nicole has mentioned, when you've trained in different categories diligently, you also walk with a different kind of confidence. So study to show yourself approved, train diligently and walk boldly and fearlessly because you know what you know. And most importantly, guys, we make plans every day, and to see those plans through, we all, with regard to our personal safety, need to be safe, be vigilant, be prepared, and be blessed. Love you all. And thank you. Thanks, Nicole.
Thank you so much.